That's what I wanted.
Ready? Okay. So I call the Special Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness to order at 3:18 p.m. in Conference Room 406, 4th Floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. We'll move to agenda item number 2, roll call.
Okay. Senator Berrigan?
Present.
Senator Blair?
Present.
Senator Bradley?
Present.
Senator Cook?
Present.
Senator Crooks?
Present.
Senator Duvall?
Present.
Senator Jordan?
Present.
Senator McAvall?
Present.
Okay, cool. Now the legislative interns Billman here.
Present.
And Ma?
Here, present.
Very good. Nice.
Awesome. We'll move to agenda item number 3, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time?
So the Judicial Council is having another event. It's on November 18th, and we're having the Higher Education Legal Council come and speak and have a whole panel and discuss with whoever is interested in higher education law. So if you guys are interested in that, please come on by. It's from 3 to 4. There isn't a location yet, but that will be to be announced. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll move to agenda item number 4, minutes. So the minutes that we have today is A, for September 14th, B, September 21st. And that's it. We actually have one for October 11th, if there is some miscommunication, because that was our special meeting, so we'll have those on the next agenda. I've never approved minutes. Does someone know the exact wording?
Someone motions to approve them, and then someone seconds.
Okay. So I'm seeking a motion. Senator Jordan?
Yeah. I move to approve the minutes from September 14th, 2016, as well as the minutes from September 21st, 2016. Unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? The motion passes. So now we'll move to agenda number 5, old business. We'll move to agenda item A, the fall safety forum. So I just want you guys to give your updates on what your contacts have told you, if they can come to the one on the 18th, and if you guys wanted to discuss anything about that. Who would like to go first? Mark Wall, you
want to
go first?
RJ is good to go.
Okay. Senator Berrigan?
So I basically, since Mayor Hillary Shivey isn't coming, I sent an email to one of the civil engineers for the city arena through Keely Eschenbaugh, and so I'm still waiting on them to contact me. So I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Senator
Crooks? I already met with Megan Pepper, and I'm waiting to hear back to see if she can go to the forum or not.
Senator Cook?
So I contacted Jake Thomas, and then he said he'd get back to me, and then he didn't get back to me, so then I texted him again, and then he still hasn't gotten back to me.
Okay. Senator Bradley?
I'm following up with police services today.
And then any luck for talking to Senator Chu about SAS and the Students Against Sex Slavery and then
for the actual forum that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was under the impression that I was talking to her for something else, so I'll bring her up today.
Okay, is she the one who's contacting police services? Because I know she's the liaison.
Yeah.
Senator Bradley?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of like get on the same page with her today because it's been a lot of hearsay, this, you know, whatnot, so I'm going to get my life together and talk to her today.
Senator Duvall?
So I think Brian clearly must hate me, just because I've talked to him about a bunch of different things for other committees, but I still think that they can get a campus escort representative there since they have such a large department, just as people personally.
Senator Gordon, you didn't have an assignment, right?
No.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on that? Do you guys understand what the forum can be all about?
Just talk about what they want to see in the future.
Okay. And then Senator Duvall and Senator Jordan, you both are still going to like host the forum?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone who can't go to the forum that would like to say now?
It's the day right before Thanksgiving. A Tuesday?
No, it's the 18th. So it's
next Friday?
Yes, next Friday.
What time?
Sorry, Mom.
I'm on duty that weekend.
Yeah. Senator Rowland?
Yeah, I'm also on duty that weekend.
Senator Chris?
I'll be out of town.
18th. Okay, you can always let me know right before, too. We just want to have some senators there. Okay, so now we'll move to agenda item 5B, senator reports. So some of you guys were working on your own projects. If you guys want to report about that, you're welcome to. Senator Markelbog?
So I was going to go talk to Mr. John Sagebeal about campus sustainability and kind of like the data in regards to like how the campus is doing. If anybody wants to come with me, he gave me a couple of days, so should I list them out now or put them in like a grouping kind of thing?
List them out now and then put them in the...
All right, so for him, he has Monday before 3, Tuesday and Wednesday are reasonably open, Thursday afternoon, and Friday before 1. Personally, I'd like to go to Friday before 1.
I can also do Friday before 1, Senator Bradley.
Yeah, I could go in 10 before 11:30. But I don't have to go.
Okay, that's harder for me because I'm available right after 11.
Okay.
So unless you wanted to meet at 11 and then you leave early, that just depends what you guys want to do. Senator Bradley?
Yeah, I don't have to go. I was just pointing that out. I have an ambassador's transfer shift at noon, so...
What do you prefer, Paul? Senator Mockwell?
I think we're good to go with just the two of us.
Okay. So is this going to be next Friday?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone else want to go? Okay. Who else would like to talk about their projects? Senator Duval?
I know I've been blowing up our whole group chat with trying to schedule things, but we have a meeting, I know some of you can't go to it, on Monday, November 21st, from 2:30 to 3:30, yes, 2:30 to 3:30, with some different people, it looks like Denise Balklowski for planning construction, Brad Taylor engineering services, Todd Renwick police services, Michelle Horton parking services, to talk about some of the issues we've discussed as a little cohesive group. So if anyone can now go to that, let us know. And then also, since one of those, one of the technicians could not attend that meeting, it was parking and lighting safety, I believe, and since you're going to go meet with him, and that date was...
So that date is...
Just let me check.
That'll be next Tuesday the 15th from 11 to 12 in his office, which is the Facility Services Building, room 109, if anyone wants to go with me. But if there's no interest in that, that's okay. So the purpose of this meeting, just to brief you guys again, is we have some different lighting issues and we want to talk about parking, especially with the, doing the carpooling. And so they're just kind of bringing together different experts at the university just so we can address all those issues at once. And they may even bring up some stuff that we haven't thought about, which would be nice. And we can also learn more about that lighting over by the Ardenta Circle or Nye Circle. Nye Circle. Anyone else have? Oh. Yeah, so actually, I'm helping them with that. Never mind. So, any other projects you guys want to talk about? Senator Bradley?
Well, it's not really super pertinent to this committee, but we went to the agriculture conference over the weekend, and we're going to talk with the dean of our college about bringing Alpha Gamma Rho, which is an agricultural fraternity, to campus. So we're the last state that they aren't colonized in, so I think it'll be kind of cool. That's not really pertinent to this committee, but... You know, go ahead.
Okay, so we'll move to agenda item 6A, discussion of car waiver insurance. You all had different aspects of the insurance to research last week, so I just want you guys to report on what you have so far, even if you haven't found a lot. We'd like to go first. So, Jordan, we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, just a sec. I'm just pulling stuff out really quick.
I'll start with mine. So I've actually pulled up a little bit of the information. It looks like you can't find out exactly how many people use university insurance just off the website. So I'm going to be in contact with them in the next week. I didn't do as much over the weekend because I was also at the agriculture conference. But what's interesting right now in their current policies is it looks like you have to take, I think, at least 9 units to be offered the health care. So I don't know if that's something that they would have to change. Oh, so it's 600? No. It's 9 units for undergraduate students. I don't know how that would also affect students who take less than 9 units. That's a question I'm going to have when I contact them, if that policy would change. And then it's still looking like they'd probably keep their premiums. So for a current undergraduate student who pays for an annual health care, and that starts in 8/15 to 8/14 of the next year, that's $2,624. So that is pretty pricey, and it's online, and it's the same packet I showed you guys a couple of weeks ago. But I don't think they would really stray much from that price, so we are looking at a pretty expensive one. What is interesting is that you can have dependents on it or a spouse, and that doesn't change your price until you have 2 or more children. So I don't know how many students that would affect, but that's just something interesting on our healthcare that I noticed. But I will contact the insurance, and that might just be Dr. English. Maybe she can give me the information on who, how many people have insurance. That's what I have. Senator Brennan, do you have your stuff?
I found a lot of cool stuff. So I looked at all these universities, hard waiver specifically, public and private. I've been looking more at private universities, or public universities, just because, you know, we're some of them. Specifically, Utah State, University of Alaska, they're both land-grant institutions. University of Virginia is a public-private. I don't know what that means. Then UNC has a hospital system, so I put them out. But so what I've found, I haven't found much on overall cost, but there is a big discrepancy. I can't really find the connection yet, but it looks like just in terms of deductible, there are some that are like, for preferred providers is like 100 to 200, and there are some that are like 500 to 700. And so for a lot of things, the deductibles are anywhere from, around 150, and then for preferred providers, and then some around, 500 to 600. And this is, I'm just looking, these are all public schools, so I need to do a little more research to find out what makes the difference. Also, out-of-pocket limit, preferred providers for some, like, around 5,000, and some are up to, like, 16,000 for, like, equal, or, like, 10,000 for out-of-network, or I guess we'll just go preferred provider, 5,000 for preferred provider out-of-pocket, and then some are up to 12,000 for preferred provider out-of-pocket. So, again, I don't know what the difference is between these public institutions that make that big of a difference. So I need to look more at that, because it's from the same company, United Healthcare. Do we know who are you going to go with? Or
I think right now they're still using the Wells Fargo.
Okay.
So we'll see if they're still wanting to do insurance at the university, mm-hmm. or things change. The election definitely has changed a lot of things. And healthcare may be easier or harder to get after the new president comes in. So who knows how that will change.
So that's what I have right now. I'll try to give an update next week as to like where these big changes come from, where UNR is most similar to what we might expect to see. Given this is just from this company, so I might look for other ones as well to find a bigger average. But yeah, I'll let you know.
Senator Duval?
I did actually have a question on that. Did Wells Fargo go through a bidding process to get to be the company of choice, or has it yet to go through? I think that's a question for Dr. Hugg English. Most likely it was the cheapest one, or the one that does go through. And on the stuff I was supposed to research, which was which subgroups of our university would be more affected than others, I did not get a chance to look into that yet as I was mm-hmm. scheduling things. But I think I ought to meet with probably Sandy or Edie himself to talk about that.
Okay, that's
good one on the right.
Senator Bradley?
I wasn't assigned anything because I wasn't playing last week.
Okay.
Basically, so you wanted me to look and see if insurance goes through exchanges, if it's as good, and I basically found that it's not as good. Like, it's better to stay on like your employer's plan or whatever, or your company's plan. And then I also had predictions, and like basically the biggest prediction is that the Affordable Care Act is going to be repealed or like replaced. So.
Was there any analysis on how that would affect the insurance market, or just that it's going to be repealed?
I mean, it's kind of like all up in the air. I found one article. It was like a couple. Let me pull it up. It was a couple of like. People were saying that basically the plan that he wants to put in, it's not really like it won't work because I don't know. It, like, basically, they're all saying that it's gonna just be chaotic because they're coming from like a political viewpoint and they don't know how healthcare works, basically. So,
okay, would you like to do a little bit of research?
Yeah, I'll do some
new
more.
Analysis,
yeah, I'll do some
coming
more.
Out. Just because, especially if we can get some insurance companies saying what they think is going to happen in the future with the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
But if you can't find those yet, that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Chris?
I've been kind of playing phone tag with the health center trying to figure out who would have the information as far as how many undergraduate students like utilize health insurance. So we don't really know yet because I haven't heard back.
Terry,
haven't been assigned anything.
Okay, yes. So
I currently don't have enough to do research.
Okay. I can talk to Dr. English about the bidding process because I'm more primarily in contact with her. But if either Senator Bradley or Senator Bergen, if you see anything interesting that you'd like, that you think we haven't covered for the insurance, you can take that on as a project. At the moment, I don't have anything for you guys.
Do you think we should keep pursuing it? I'm just like being honest with the reality of things.
I don't know. That's something we can discuss right now. Also, to get the rest of the committee on what you guys think. Senator Ball and Jordan.
I think it would be incredibly hard to repeal an entire program like the Affordable Care Act. But even if that does happen, it would be even more important for us to do this for our students so they'd have an alternative for their health care if it was not federally mandated. So yes, we should pursue it more so than ever now.
Senator Jordan?
It's, you know, not up to us specifically, but this is probably one of the big points of this committee was made. Show support of something like this that's going to affect the health of students. Honestly, it's probably going to go to the regions. There's going to be new fee, things like that. Not fees have to go to the regions. And so, like, why would we not continue pursuing this to show the students support or opposition to this? Like, I think it's really important. So I think we should keep pursuing it. Get a stance on it.
Senator Bradley, did you?
No, I agree.
Okay.
With both Senator Jordan and Senator Ball, that especially now with our new presidency, like, you don't know what's going to happen, so it's more so than ever that we need to have a backup plan or a thorough investigation of like what we should do.
I also see that the most that we're going to do if we push through a piece of legislation is only buy our university time to approve insurance in the future, or at least have it so the insurance companies are still interested in us in a couple years. Even if the Affordable Care Act does get repealed completely or partially, it still takes a while for those changes really to be seen, which is why I think if we are in support of this, it kind of buys us time. That actually brought up a point I was thinking of, that do you think it would be beneficial if we had a meeting with Mark Johnson to see where he would fall on this? Like, if he supports it or not, and would anyone be interested in going to that meeting?
We should ask the president.
Dr. Meade?
Indifferent which way you pursue this on this question, but if you are going to pursue it, I would pursue it through Noah and Brandon, because they meet with them on a weekly basis and just have them add it to
what you're talking to him about.
Senator Brown.
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Beatty. Also, I'd like to echo the point that... Hold on, it's coming to me. It was there. It's gone.
What was it?
It was based off of yours. Obviously, too, like, the entire Senate body, like, if we write a resolution, it's not necessarily set in stone that that's what's going to happen. Like, it's just saying that we support it or don't support it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I was going with it. It's not necessarily making the change ourselves. Like, we're not the people that are going to go implement healthcare. Like, we're not the people doing these things. But if we show our support or don't show our support, not to say it doesn't matter, but not to say it's the nail in the coffin. So, keeping that in mind when we write resolutions is
just one thing to remember, especially when it comes to new student fees, a resolution in support or against is going to be very, very heavily with the Regents. It is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're speaking for the students, the fee is imposed on the students. I can tell you if the students didn't support that weekend fitness center, it wouldn't be getting filled right now. Now, I don't know about all the fees that have gone through since the beginning of time, but I know it was made pretty much clear that if the students weren't in support, that it wouldn't be being filled.
Okay. I think with that, we also should open it up more to the students. And before we write that resolution or say that, or like a recommendation for the next Senate to pass it, is that we really should get like what students think on it. Just so that it's a little bit more fair to us just believing it, because a lot of us may not be as representative of those students just because we are a much smaller body than all the students.
Bouncing off that point, although I do agree that it's like nice to have a system of obviously of providing healthcare for our students, especially with the new upcoming political cycle. My thing is just like the premiums cost, so many things are just unstable with this change, that I feel like drafting a system would be a waste of time compared to, I think, like, you guys were talking about a resolution in support of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be not a waste of time. And one thing that we could do is we could do, like, a survey and provide prizes for those who complete the survey. Like they did a hydro flask and they did, did some Wolfpack gear. Just a way of us actually getting our constituents' opinions on this issue instead of us just being this, like, I don't know, these people at this table who obviously we have our own biases. So, I don't know. That's just me.
Sorry,
Jordan.
In terms of, like, trustee versus delegate, I think this is one of those times where delegate is, like, supreme. Like, if you ask, it's basically just asking a student to give an opinion without any prior knowledge, not undermining the intelligence of the student body, but something as complicated as this, you need to make an informed decision. And like, if we're having trouble getting research, then how can we expect to get any valid opinions and data from someone that doesn't have the time, doesn't really care? So I think the students in electing us and us choosing to be on this committee, like, they count on us to make these decisions for them, make an informed decision. So I don't exactly think that student opinion, like via survey, will be like valid or accurate. I think that we're entrusted with responsibility, so whatever decision we make is fine.
I would agree with, we have to probably take the delegate position in the end front of things, but I think we should get a little bit of say from the students, whether or not that survey do you care if the university doesn't provide insurance? Would that have affected you going to this university? Would mandatory insurance have affected you going to this university? I think if we ask those kind of general questions to get, like, what the students thought when they went to this university, too, and how that affects it, or does not having university insurance affect you continuing going to this university, I think it can give us a good idea of, like, the trend, but we still may have to make a decision that goes against that. I think it just gives us another point of information that just makes us make a better decision. Consider not falling.
I agree with Louise. I feel like we should just get that poll out. Despite them not having the information, we can provide that information with that ballot. Like, even with just this election, there's a bunch of measures we should have provided voters, and some information was provided for that within that question. I feel like we can't just... If they say one thing and we do the other, there's no point in asking them in the first place.
Any other thoughts, Senator Berrigan?
Just off of that whole, like, the thing, I'm just going to make a comparison, and if you guys don't agree with it, you guys are 100% entitled to your opinion. For example, the reason the Affordable Health Care Act was made was for those who are, it was for the disenfranchised people, for those, like, that weren't able to get insurance because of their pre-existing conditions, or that they wasn't provided through their work, and stuff like that. But for the majority of Americans, the Affordable Health Care Act was detrimental. And the thing is that it helped the minority of people who were in really dire circumstances, but it affected the majority of people and raised their premiums. Because that's what happens. It's like, well, somebody who... This is really sad that it's the way that it is, but somebody who's has a really serious illness had no healthcare coverage. In order to accommodate that, you have to spread the load through everybody else. And the thing is that if you ask, I feel like if you ask the students, they're entitled to make that decision on their own. Even though, like, it's the right, like, would it, in a perfect world, everybody gets healthcare. But I think that's a decision that I'd rather have the students make if they're willing to make that sacrifice, not me putting that on the students themselves. Just because I think that. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's just me.
Are
there any other alternatives to HARP waiver?
Sure. Probably just mandatory. I don't know what else they would do because it is an opting-out system. And I don't know what else you'd compromise with that, because right now it's just an optional system. Versus, I don't know what would be between private and mandatory. Does anyone? And I think the reason they're doing this is because they were worried the insurance companies would pull out, because an optional university or insurance providers aren't spreading the risk amongst enough students.
True.
And that's why the hard waiver supposedly would increase the population of students that the insurance would have under them. And that spreads out the risk. And that's why it looks more attractive for more insurance companies to come to the university. But with everything changing, again, who knows what that will really be.
Two things on that. Since we can't raise any fees until 2019 anyways, do we also have that risk that an insurance company would lose interest before then?
That's what we were approached to provide a resolution, even just in support of it, in the hopes that would buy us time. Senator Duval, a second.
Yes, the same point. And wouldn't it sort of call an adverse selection, so that there's already a number of people who would opt out because they're on their parents' insurance, so the people who are opted in are people who don't have insurance currently, and maybe more likely to use it, thus causing it to be more expensive. I'm not sure if that's how it would exactly play out, but...
Yeah, and that will also change, because if the Affordable Care Act gets repealed, the keeping children on until they're 26 may also change, which I think affects more students maybe not being covered under their parents, which also can increase the pool of people needing university insurance. So it's almost, I think, just to be safe, we should lean a little bit, not like necessarily, but like I lean towards supporting a resolution that this will be placed in like 2019. Because that buys us some time, and maybe that's what we like write in the bill, because we don't know the state of insurance, but we want it for our university. We want that option for our students. But we also want to minimize the students that affect. That's why I lean a little bit towards considering a possible resolution for it. Because it buys some time for our university. Senator Bradley?
I just keep getting like
I think this is because we spend too much time in between, but like confused of like what this is even gonna like manifest into looking like. So like somebody can get like a short synopsis, kind of like get me on the same page, because like as of now we have optional health like insurance here, like that the university requires or offers, and then this company Wells Fargo would come in and it would be mandatory unless you were on your parents or no.
Unless you had any other insurance.
Well, then, yeah, unless you already had insurance, it would be mandatory.
Yes.
Okay.
And the way that manifests in the current graduate student population is that fees are already attached with all your other fees. It's not one that comes on later, so you have to prove that you have another form of insurance, and then it gets dropped from the fees you have to pay. And so if some students don't do it in time, that could also affect if they get charged for that. And then they may end up with two insurance policies. So that's another thing that would happen with that. And I don't know how many graduate students get affected by that. And we probably should still do a pool of like how hard it is for the graduate students to prove that, how they actually like the program at our university, just because I think they could give some insights to that. Director Vita, did you have a comment?
Yeah. Basically, you've got two options. You write a resolution in support of it, or you don't do anything of our waiver insurance, which you don't know what's going to happen until 2019 anyways. There's no new fees. It's not difficult to prove you have insurance. You just show your insurance card, and you have insurance. It's got your name on it, or you can print your forms. If it were to pass, what would happen is currently, I think, 56 students utilize the insurance on campus. Is that the number we talked about?
I don't remember.
It was 56 students are utilizing it on campus. So if the insurance company, it's more lucrative for them to have the hard waiver, right? Because then anyone who doesn't have insurance has to sign up. More people are paying into insurance, so they make more money, right? It offsets their risk. It is. It's what an actuary would figure out, essentially. Risk management. So if you do the hard waiver, you have those 56 students. The number you need is how many students are currently on campus that don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that number because currently you don't have to prove you have insurance. So it's an anomaly. It could be anywhere from 5 students to 1,000 students, right? Now, I think the number you gave was $2,200 a year-ish is what that fee
would
be.
I think it was 26.
$2,600 a year. Currently, you pay what, about $3,500 a semester in tuition if you're in state. So $3,500 is $7,000. This would add almost $3,000 to that. So that's 33% of the cost to attend every year that you're making mandatory for students that don't have insurance. That being said, you have the anomaly: student doesn't have insurance, falls off the building, they now owe $40,000 to the hospital, and they're going to be paying that off for the next 25 years. So there's a lot of factors to kind of weigh out, but what you're doing is you're saying, yes, we're going to make it mandatory for all students, so the cost for the students that get it is lower, and the option will be provided. So it's for business majors, it's like hedging your bet, right? Right now, if you write out the resolution, you're hedging your bet saying that we think we won't be able to find an insurance company to cover us if we don't write this resolution. So you're writing the resolution really in response to the possibility that the insurance could go away, whether very likely it could be, right? Happened to Vegas, or maybe not, I don't know. So right now you guys have a lot of factors you're looking at. You're not just looking at a proposal that's been put out there, and you know that 56 students have it, 700 students don't, so you'd be charging 700 students an extra $2,600 a year to cover 56, or maybe 5 students don't have it, which makes it a lot more justifiable. And those are numbers you're not going to get, right? Because we don't have a system to get them. So you're kind of in a quagmire that way when it comes to information gathering. But basically, that's what you're looking at. Either write a resolution better. And trust me, if you write that resolution when 2019 comes around, Dr. English will have that piece of paper in her hand when she goes to the president, right? Whether or not that Senate's written anything or not. And then at that point, that Senate would also have to decide if they would write a resolution in support of your resolution, or if they would write a resolution to say, wow, they didn't have all the facts back in 2016 that we have now. So it's a lot to think about. I really don't think there's an easy answer, right? Because it's nice to be able to come to university and say, I have an insurance option. This is nice. And it's also hard to come to a university, and I'm thinking about undocumented kids who can't get more financial aid to cover
$2,600 a year. Where do you come up with that money? So both sides have merit.
Actually, for Senator Barrett and Senator Bradley, would you guys like to look into possible donors who could set up a fund for students who are undocumented or like no questions asked type of fund for people who would like to pay for medical insurance? Like, I think that'd be an interesting response, like scholarship type deal, and just look at like anyone. I don't know how we'd go about it, but that's something we could also consider to help protect those undocumented students. Senator Bradley.
I was gonna say something. Why can't we just take it on as an association? We have a $3.3 million budget. Why can't we just do something aside for it? Like, I mean, seriously, this is like a legitimate thing. We spent $43,000 on YG, who did a 20-minute performance, and we can't put some money aside for some undocumented kids to get insurance. I'd rather do that than, and that's all I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe that's one of the issues that we can consider, and we can consider how much that might be. And I know that we're trying to do more initiatives, like undergraduate research and doing the PAC internship program. And so that's something we have to also consider, is spreading that money to different initiatives and whether or not that hampers that. If we could get someone who would be willing to donate money for that, I think that would still be beneficial, even if we put some of the money from the associate students into it. Because you can have a joint venture, and then I think it kind of makes the pool a little bit richer just for students. And then maybe if we do cover all the undocumented students, other students can apply for that, so they don't have to have all their financial aid going to just insurance. But if you don't have to take on the project if you guys don't want. I'm just offering it to you. Senator Bradley?
Yeah, I can look into it. I just have a hard time with this because, like, with the retention, like, when we're passing things, it should be, is this going to help student retention? Is this going to keep students from coming here? Like, I know personally, like, if there was an extra, what was it, like, $2,600 tacked on, I would not be going to this university. Absolutely not. I would be at a community college and transferring to a state school, like, in California. I would have never come here because students come here because it's an affordable college that has great facilities and great community, and I just have a hard time like justifying an additional fee, and especially if it's gonna completely, the undocumented students, obviously we've talked about that a lot, but just students who come from families who they make more than that, like not to get a lot of financial aid, but their family has not necessarily enough to put them through college. That's like where a lot of students sit, so it's hard for me to justify saying, well, you know, just in the event that you ever got hurt, you're going to have to still pay all this extra money. Because that's the problem with insurance, in my opinion, is that it's a risk. It's, if you don't have it and you get hurt, then it's really awesome, or that it's horrible. But if you have it and you never get hurt, you paid all that money for nothing. So
we're going to have to wrap up this conversation, Ben, and Senator Duvall and
Barrigan. I just want to say that I completely agree with Barrigan that ACU has a number of other scholarships, and there is one software for the textbooks. I think that there should at least be a little bit of money put aside for this, and we should write a resolution in support of that if we are to pass this.
I think when we get closer to deciding which way we lean on that, when then we'll consider who can take that on. Senator Gregory.
Just in closing, I'm personally, like, I'm just, like, I agree with Senator Bradley, like, with everything she said. I'm not, personally, I wouldn't want this. However, if we're going to do something, if there is something that I could possibly get behind, it would be us as an association. And you talk about a donor. So what we could do is we could get somebody, we could do like a match. But this is something, this is a huge project. So I'll look into it. And it would have to be a corporate sponsor realistically of anybody who would realistically be able to and willing to match the association. So that's some, for some of the future. Let's just wrap up. But yeah.
So that's what we consider, and maybe you guys can think of where you would sit on this issue and bring in those points. Other than that, do more research on your assignments, just so we have more to talk about at the next meeting. And then I move to agenda item number 7, public comment. Any public comments? Cool, we'll move to agenda item number 8, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 3:57 p.m. Woohoo! This whole argument, I go back and forth, and like, I agree with